Good evening, everyone. Once again, it's good to be together. It's good for us to assemble and to worship our God. There's nothing better that we could be doing this evening than what we have chosen to do in obedience to our Lord. I think Dan and Krista are also caught in the traffic jam. Bill, knowing his way around the city real well, probably figured out a way to get around it. There's some horrible traffic out on the interstate, and so that's caused delays for some of our members. Penny also pointed out I might have made a little clearer in the announcement. Miss Becky's only going to Arizona temporarily, so we are expecting her to come back shortly. All right. Well, last week we began a study entitled Becoming a People of Prayer, and we talked about several things in our beginning, our introduction lesson. We talked about what prayer is. We defined prayer, and we talked about how that it's a speaking with God, a making a petition, a request to God, supplication. And we talked about how that it's an intimate communing with God and an expressing of our hearts to Him. And when we're praying, we are approaching God's throne as we do so in prayer. We also talked last week about the history of prayer, about how that men began to call on the name of the Lord, recorded in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. We found the second mention of it in Genesis 12 and verse 8 in the days of Abraham. Of course, it was a common practice by that time, but it soon became a part of a daily part of believers' lives and throughout, satiated in the Old Testament. We read about how that those people of faith, that they spent much of their time, great amounts of time in prayer to God. And we also talked about how that it became a part of public worship. Then we talked about the need for prayer. We talked about how that we're weak and we're frail and we need help. We need help from our God above. We talked about how that God knows best, and so we ought to put our cares, our concerns, our dealings in His hands. We talked about how that we can't control nature, but God can. And so we need to pray to Him and ask for His intervention. We talked about how that God is all-powerful and there's nothing too difficult for Him. How that He's all-wise and how He knows the end from the beginning. And so all of these being reasons why we need to pray to God. And then we talked about the power of prayer. We talked about how that God wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to pour out our hearts to Him, make our requests known. Yes, God already knows. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what our needs are. But as a father knows the needs of his children and the hearts of his children, but yet it's a father's desire that his children communicate with him, God desires that we pray to Him. He tells us that we ought to pray to Him. Luke 18, and we'll be talking about that again tonight. He assures us that His ears are open to our prayers, that He is eager to hear them, and that He will answer the prayers that we offer according to His will when they're prayers from a righteous person. And He assures that our prayers will be effective. Our prayers will change the course of nature when it is God's will. We're going to continue this study tonight, talking about becoming a people of prayer. And in tonight's study, we're going to be talking about reasons why some people neglect prayer. We'll just spend a short time there. We'll be looking briefly into the prayer life of Jesus. We'll be looking at the prayers of the first century Christians, and then at the close we'll be examining ourselves to see if we match up to what we read of in the Scriptures. So as we begin this study, let's look first of all in Acts chapter 21 and notice Paul and his deep appreciation for prayer to God. In Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. This is following Acts 20, where he had been speaking with the elders in Ephesus, and as he departed from them, they knelt down and they prayed together. He boarded the ship, and we pick up in our text. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them, those elders in Ephesus, and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Cos. The following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem, and that's where he was bound on this trip. And we continue, when he had come to the end of those days, or when we had come to the end of those days, we departed and went our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. I don't know about you, but when I read this passage, it is a beautiful scene in my mind. He has met the Christians. He's on his way to Jerusalem. The Spirit has indicated to them this is not going to be a good journey for Paul, that it's going to end in his imprisonment. And they're pleading with him not to go to Jerusalem. But yet he's determined and willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. When they get out of the city, they show humility to God in that they kneel down and they pray together. And you think about the confidence that they had, the lack of embarrassment. It doesn't tell us that they went and hid behind some trees and knelt down to pray. They were speaking to God the Creator. And so as they get outside the city, not that they stand in the city square or kneel in the city square, they get outside the city and they kneel down and they pray to their God. Prayer was a great part of this apostle in the early Christian's life. We need to make it, if we haven't, we need to make it a great part of our lives. Why do you think that some people neglect prayer? Prayer is speaking to God, the Creator of the universe. It is effective. It changes things. So why would we neglect prayer? Well, first of all, some people neglect prayer because they fail to recognize the importance. They haven't matured as they ought to. Maybe they're not reading the Bible as they ought to. Maybe it's not sunk into their hearts how powerful prayer is and how much God desires that we pray to Him. And so it's just not all that important. I'm with Christians sometimes and we sit down to eat and they just start to eat. And I'm thinking, I wonder how much they pray during the day and at other times. And you know, at other times when would be appropriate to pray, nobody suggests. Nobody has a prayer. And it's just not important to some people as it ought to be. It ought to be important to us that we look for opportunities to pray to our God. Sometimes it's because of a lack of spiritual interest and growth. People are just so caught up in their work and in their recreation and in the different things. And they're Christians, but yet they're still babes. And so they need to grow. Sometimes, as we just indicated, it's because they're too busy. Other times, it's because of a lack of discipline. They know that they ought to pray. It's in their hearts to pray. They want to pray. But they just get so busy Are we not familiar with that? Are we not familiar what a busy schedule is like? We all are, aren't we? Maybe we've reached the age of retirement. Maybe life is not quite as hectic, but I've heard a lot of people say how much busier they get in retirement than when they were working. But our lives are so busy and people want to pray, but they just don't make the time. We all live in the same world. We've all got to make time to pray to our God. Sometimes it's a lack of faith in God to answer prayer. Some people don't understand that God will change things. They think that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And yes, God's in heaven, but He's just kind of up there watching us. And nature is just going to take its course. Life's just going to go on as it would happen. And they don't understand that God will answer our prayers, that He will change things when they are according to His will. And so some people say, well, yeah, there's your caveat. You know, you always say, if it's according to His will. We always say, if it's according to His will, because that's what the Scriptures say. Even Jesus Himself prayed, if it be thy will that I drink this cup, then not my will, but your will be done. And so 1 John teaches us that if we ask according to His will, He will grant it to us. And then sometimes people are just uneasy in praying. They haven't developed a desire. They haven't developed an easiness. Let's put it that way. They haven't developed an easiness with prayer. Men, we need to overcome that. Women, you need to overcome that as well, especially in private life. But men, we need to develop. Now, understand that we're a body. The church is a body. There's fingers, there's toes, elbows, knees, there's all different things that people do in the church. And for some people, they're just not comfortable praying. But sometimes it's just because we haven't developed. And so we need to develop, and we need to step out there and get the experience we need so that we're comfortable with public prayer and we're comfortable with private prayer as well. Don't be uneasy in prayer. It's a talking to God. And some people say, yeah, I know, that's why I'm uneasy. He's the great creator. And so that's good, but we need to realize He wants us to pray to Him. Let's take a look for a few moments at Jesus' prayer life. Jesus showed that prayer was a very important part of His life. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, it says, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. And so Jesus had multitudes around Him. And in some people's thoughts today, it would be, you've got a multitude. If we were in another country preaching and there are multitudes there, you know, don't send them away. You know, they're here to listen. Jesus sent them away. Why did He send them away? So that He could have time to pray to His Father. We need to realize how important prayer is and follow the example of our Lord. He found time and He found the solitude necessary for prayer. Sometimes if we're too busy, if our life is too hectic, we need to just simply carve out the time and make the time to spend with our Father in prayer. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, and He said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And so Jesus said, as they were busy, their hectic schedules were teaching the gospel. And they were so busy, they didn't have time to rest. They didn't have time to eat. And so Jesus called them, the disciples, to come aside, to come away from the crowds so that they could have time to rest and could have time to pray. And continuing on in Mark 1, verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. And so Jesus got up in the morning. It was a long time before daylight. It may be if our schedule is too hectic that we need to get up a half hour earlier. We need to stay up a half hour later. Jesus made the time, and even though He may have been tired being in a body, He made the time to pray to His Father. Also, He spent much of the night, we see, He spent much of the night in which He was betrayed in prayer to His Father, seeing again the importance of prayer to Jesus. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Let's stop there for just a moment. Have you ever been so sorrowful that you felt like dying? Or you felt that you might die? Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow. He knew what lay before Him. He said to His disciples, He brought them to the Garden of Gethsemane. He brought them Peter, James, and John, just a little ways from the others. And He says, stay here and watch with Me. And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. So He withdrew just a little distance and he prayed to His Father, begging Him, please let this cup pass from Me, but not what I want, but Your will be done. Then He came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time, He went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from Me unless I drink it, Your will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Prayer was crucial to Jesus and His relationship to the Father. Do we think that we can have a close relationship without spending quality time and quality prayer to our God? Jesus taught, and sorry about the formatting, Jesus taught that we too need to be persistent in our prayers. He taught this over and over, but we read, as we read last week, Luke chapter 18, said, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I do not regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?" And we touched upon this last week, and let me spend just a moment here. This is not a disconnected statement that he makes at the end of teaching this parable. When he comes, will he really find faith on earth? It's not that that's disconnected and he's just throwing out this thought. It's connected to prayer. If our prayer life is not meaningful, if we're not spending the time and we're not praying fervently to our Father, it may be that we don't have the faith that we need in God. And so Jesus taught we always ought to pray. And realize, I may have addressed this last week, I don't recall, but realize that in the setting up of parables, not all things are to have a meaning in them. Jesus is not saying that God is like an unjust judge, that you've got to keep begging and keep begging until he finally changes his mind and he'll do what you want him to do. That's not what Jesus is teaching. He's just setting up the parable to teach that, just like this lady kept coming to the judge and asking, we need to keep coming to God in prayer. How many times have we all collectively, individually and collectively in the last month, and you for years now, been praying for Paul? I don't know, and this is not in a bragful way, I don't know how many prayers I've offered up for Paul. And so we don't just pray to God to fulfill a responsibility and then it's all over with. We pray to God because we know that God wants us to pray to Him. We know that He will hear our prayers. And we come to Him with the same things over and over because God teaches us to do that. When we pray, and if we are in health and have the ability, I don't think that God requires it, but I think that God truly accepts it. If we can go to God and spend time with Him in fasting and prayer, it shows God that we are serious about the petitions that we're making to Him. That it's not just a casual, hey God, would you do this for me? Sometimes that's what our prayers are like, though we don't recognize it. We need to have deep faith. And we need to make prayer meaningful in our life. Jesus taught clearly that prayer ought to be crucial, as it was to him in his relationship to the Father. Let's spend a moment looking at the first century Christians and their prayers. You remember the passage in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that the church in Jerusalem, those Christians were devoted to prayer. Back in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins." Verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And it continues in verse 42 saying, "And they," those 3,000 who were baptized, "and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." This idea in the original language, "and they continued steadfastly." I really like the New King James translation here. Some other translation says they devoted themselves. And that's an excellent translation also, though I think maybe we have missed a little bit of the depth of the word devoted. We use that word a little bit casually nowadays. Like the word awesome has gotten very casual. Awesome is what God is. Nothing casual about that at all. But this idea that they continued, that's the idea of devoted. But it shows the intensity of it. They continued steadfastly. They didn't let up. And so they were giving their lives to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayers. And so we need to look at their example, and we need to see how Christians ought to pray to God, and how important it ought to be to us. Brethren prayed extensively for one another. So they gave themselves to prayer. We find examples over and over of them praying for one another. When Peter was in prison, Acts 12, verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Just like constant prayer is being offered for Paul. And so those Christians, how many were there? By this time, there were thousands of them. And it's not that they all were together in one place. We know that when Paul was released, some of them were at Mary's house. And so 5,000, 10,000 Christians weren't all gathered in her house. But they were spending time together, and in their prayers alone, they were constant. That means that continual prayer was being offered up to God. I might pray for 5 minutes, and Joe might pray for 5 minutes, and Steve might pray for 10 minutes. I don't mean all together in the same assembly, though that's perfectly fine. But as I'm in my home, and Joe's in his, and Steve's in his, it created a situation where constant prayer was being offered up for Peter. They prayed for one another because they realized that prayer changes things. Also, they prayed for the spreading of the gospel. Jesus had instructed this while he was on earth. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, we who are Christians and have been Christians for a while, this ought to already be a regular part of our prayer life. We ought to be praying for the spreading of the gospel all the time. It ought to be in our prayers. But Penny and I, we've got a huge project ahead of us. Those of you who've been in that house that we bought, yep, you're right, you've got a big project, maybe what you're thinking. It's going to take us a while to do what we would like to do. But we're getting to the point, we're getting settled in. Yeah, it's still messy, it's still ugly, but we're getting settled in. And I want to get serious about the work here in Louisville. I want to get serious about the work here at Taylorsville Road. You know what we need to start doing? We need to be praying. We need to be praying that God will bless. If God is not with us, we might as well forget it. I know there are churches that are growing immensely, and I know that God's not with them. They're teaching false doctrines, and they're growing leaps and bounds. I suppose that if we appeal to people and tickle ears, we can grow without God being with us. But Hebrews chapter 12 says that those whom He loves, He disciplines. And if we are not making God the center of our evangelistic efforts, if we're not glorifying God in our lives and in our assemblies, He's not going to be pleased. And if we're not doing the work of evangelism, He's not going to be happy with us, and He's not going to bless us. We need to be praying, brethren. Let's pray, and we're soon going to roll up our sleeves and get busy. And it's not that we're not doing anything. I don't know about you. It's not that we're not doing anything now. Yesterday I invited, I think, 4 people to services. And so that's good and fine. I want to keep doing that all the time, but we need to do more than just invite people to services. So we need to be praying. He said, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Please be praying with us, that God will use us and that He will help each of us to do our part in the harvest that He wants to have of souls. Also in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, as we're talking about Christians praying extensively for one another, Paul is telling them, after instructing them to put on the armor of God, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so he says in this text that we're to be watchful to this end in perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to be praying for Christians around the world. We get caught up in our own lives. We get caught up in our own world, and we forget that all around the world there are Christians. Some of them are suffering before the name of Christ, especially this time in Africa. There are people that are being persecuted because of their faith. In Indonesia, there are true Christians who are being persecuted by a very well-known religious movement at this time. They're being persecuted because they are Christians. And we just go about our busy little days in our fine little lives, and we forget to pray for these people. Paul says, you be praying for all the Christians. I think for all the saints. I think part of what his prayer was is because, as he just said, we need to put on the armor of God. They were being persecuted. And so he says, pray for them. Pray. People were being put in prison. People were being put in jail. Fathers being taken from their families. Mothers taken from their families. He says, pray for these saints. We need to pray for one another here at Taylorsville Road. We are a family. And we need to care for one another and pray. I'm praying for my boys in Fiji. They're my children. They're my sons. But are we not a family? If I'm going to be praying for them, do I not need to be praying for you the same way? And you praying for each other and for me? We're all part of the family here. We need to pray for one another. And notice what Paul said. We need to learn, and we'll talk more in later lessons, we need to learn to get specific with our prayers. To ask for specific things. Paul says, pray for this. He said, pray that I may open my mouth boldly, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He didn't say, oh, Father, remember Paul as he's out preaching the gospel. That's not what he said. That's what we do sometimes in our prayers. Men, as we're leading public prayers, we're called on and we assume that responsibility and announcements are made. Oftentimes, and I know that it's because we forget the names of people. I've had to do it myself. But oftentimes, Lord, remember the sick, those who were announced. Yes, God is all wise and He knows who they are. But we need to get specific in our prayers. It's okay, men, and I hope none of you feel uncomfortable with this. But if you're called on to lead a prayer and you know we need to be looking at our duty roster and you know you've got the prayer, get a piece of paper and write down the names of those people that are mentioned in the announcements. And when you get up there to lead a prayer, just kind of glance down at those names. We need to be praying for people specifically. We need to be praying for specific things. The first century Christians did. Paul asked for it. Prayer is a wonderful thing, powerful thing, and we need to appreciate it. And as we look at the first century Christians still in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, we see there in 1 Peter chapter 4 that they were praying yet for one another, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And so it was a part of their everyday lives, and it needs to be part of ours. Once again, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. As he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. That's the idea of being steadfast in prayer. Don't let it slip away from you. Don't let your schedule get so busy that prayer gets squeezed out, that your prayers become meaningless. We're Christians. Very few of us are not offering prayers up to God. Some may be attending, but they're not praying very much at all to God. I hope that that's not you. But what often happens is we pray, but we get squeezed. Prayer gets squeezed, and so our prayers become superficial prayers. Let's not let that happen to us. Prayer is important and prayer is powerful. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Jesus is coming soon, morning, night, or noon. We need to be ready, brethren. The end of all things, the consummation. God created this great universe. God created the angels that are in heaven. But one day, and it could be any moment, He's going to bring all of this universe to an end. It's coming to a close. Are we ready? We need to be watchful. We need to be ready and waiting. It could be the Master could be returning any moment. We need to be watchful in our prayers. We need to be praying. We need to be praying to God to help us, to forgive us, to lead us, to guide us, to help us to make the changes, to be with those that are sick, to be with those that are preaching the gospel, to open up doors of opportunity for us here in the congregation. We need to be steadfast in prayer. If Jesus is coming soon, we need to be telling people. We need to make prayer an important part of that. And so let's spend just a moment looking at ourselves. First of all, we need to examine our relationship with God. I know that you're probably like me. I want to walk with God. I want a close relationship with Him. Yes, just like it happens to you sometimes, it happens to me, that we get caught up in things and it just kind of drags us away. Little by little, it just drags us back and we have to shake loose whatever it is and draw back close to God. I heard someone say not long ago someone had made a comment of drawing close to God and being nearer to God, and they said, that's not right. You're either walking with God or you're not walking with God. I want to say to you that I believe that you can have a relationship with God, but you can have a really close relationship with God also. Did He not say in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, resist the devil and he will flee from you? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. I know that at times I have felt closer to my God than at other times. And it's not my emotions, it's because of my life. I know that at times I've not been doing all that I ought to do, being devoted as I ought to be. And so we need to look at our relationship with God. Are we walking with Him? Are we desiring to please Him? Are we making Him the our all in all? Are we seeking His kingdom? First, we need to look at our relationship with God, because if we're not close with Him, we're not going to be praying as we ought to. We need to evaluate the importance we place upon prayer. Is prayer just something that you were taught to do as a child? Something you know that as Christians we're supposed to do? Or do you recognize that this is a talking with our Father in heaven? A pouring out of our heart to Him. Do you realize that it will change things? Let's get specific in our prayers. Not that we're putting God to the test, but it's just like when we were standing in the hospital and they came out with the good news that Paul's surgery was successful. And not only was it successful in replacing the valve, they had found the other artery that was clogged, and we joined our hands and we thanked God that He had heard our prayers and answered them. I think that sometimes we think, well, it probably happened anyway, even if we didn't pray. I think there's sometimes Christians think that way. I think that when we make announcements, and this just 2 Kings chapter 1, it's my opinion. I think when we make announcements and as a congregation we pray and those prayers are answered, I think we need to give thanks to our God. And so, we need to recognize the importance of prayer. We need to evaluate the importance that we place upon it. Is it just something that we do, or are we dead serious about it? We need to assess how much time we spend in prayer. I don't think we will ever spend enough time in prayer. I think that I will always be stepping on my toes when I preach these things. I think it was Connie Adams who someone said, "Preacher, you stepped all over my toes tonight." And he said, "Well, at least you got to sit down." I need to spend more time in prayer. Do you need to spend more time in prayer? Let's take that. And let's recognize it. And let's try to, this week, make prayer a little more meaningful. Spend more time and pray for specific things, not just that casual prayer that we offer before a meal or before we go to bed. And let me say this, again, we'll talk more about prayer in the future, but let me add this. I think we need to find times when we are by ourselves and we get serious about prayer. We get down on our knees. We lift up our hands. We prostrate ourselves on the... We need to get serious about prayer. But let me also say, you don't have to do that to pray. You can pray while you're driving down the interstate. You can pray while you're standing in line at the grocery store. Those prayers are somewhat distracted, but you're still praying to your God. When you're tempted, I don't care if you're walking down an aisle of Walmart and a temptation confronts you. Pray while you're walking down the aisle. Pray for God to forgive you and to strengthen you and help you. Nehemiah, when he was asked by the king why his heart was heavy, He tells us, as the king spoke to him, he was praying in his heart to God. He's looking at the king eye to eye, and inside his heart, he's praying to God. And so there's book, chapter, and verse, though I didn't give it. I just told you who it was, that we can pray without bowing our heads, getting on our knees. We need to make prayer important to us and spend a great deal of time in it. And we need to consider the contents of our prayer. If we just simply are thanking God for our food and praying the same casual prayer that we've always prayed, we need to get serious. We need to talk to God. We need to pray for specific things. And I don't think it'd be right for us to excuse ourselves and say, well, as I'm praying that, God knows what I really mean. We need to do our best to pray specifically. He is the great I Am who can grant our request we need to ask. In the book of James, he said, you do not receive because you do not ask. Pray specifically. We'll talk more about those things in lessons to come. I hope this has been beneficial to you. I hope it just reminds us and helps us to reevaluate ourselves and to see that we do need to spend more time in more serious prayer to the great God of heaven who has created us. If there's any way we can help you tonight in your relationship with God, if you're ready to become a Christian and commit your life to Him, you're ready to repent, confess your faith in Christ, and to be baptized, God gave Jesus for that very reason. However we can help you, why don't you come forward and let us know while we stand and while we sing.